Good morning. Thank you, brother, for that. Best kind of preaching would be the God-breathed preaching, amen? That which is coming from the scriptures, and so that's why the men of God study, amen? So they can bring forth the word of God. God can bless it. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're in our series. We're now in the fourth week on the fourth commandment, the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. We've been doing a study here on the Ten Commandments. We prepared initially before we got into the Ten Commandments to prepare ourselves for the Ten Commandments as God did his people while they were there at the foot of Mount Sinai, and in hopes that we would draw closer to God, that we would allow the Spirit of God through the Word of God to convict our hearts, to challenge us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. That's the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Jesus said. And so that's the whole goal of studying the Ten Commandments. We don't try to live the Ten Commandments to earn God's favor and his love. That comes through grace, amen, and the mercy found through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they do offer us a great principle, a great guidance, a light that we can follow that can help us and teach us along our Christian journey here. And so we're in Exodus 20, and we're in verse 8. And one thing you'll notice is God gives 1, 2, 3, 4 verses to this one commandment. So it's important, amen. And so let's go ahead and read here, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Amen. That's everybody. Just don't work. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. And so this is what we're going to be looking at today, how we can apply it to our life. This is no, obviously, with the time we have, no great in-depth study of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, but we're gonna hit the highlights and challenge us this morning. So the Sabbath, simply, the Hebrew word means rest, and that was God's intention. He wanted his people to rest. Here in God's Ten Commandments, we see that he is Lord over our time. Right. Amen. This is important now, because we as Christian individuals, sometimes we, again, in if you've been with us, you know kind of where this is all going and where we're heading with this, and what we're trying to accomplish is to give God first place in our life. He is to have the preeminence. He is Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, is he? And so here he was teaching his people, listen, I am the Lord over your time. Your time belongs to me. God claimed it as the day his people rested. He said, listen, I created you. I created the earth in 6 days, and in the seventh I rested. And so you're going to also work in those 6 days, and then on the seventh you're going to rest. His people, let's go to Nehemiah. Hold your place there in Exodus. Let's go to Nehemiah. You see, before Sinai, there is no commandment concerning the Sabbath. Now, we see it in principle when God rested on the seventh day back in the book of Genesis. So there is a principle here, but there was no commandment up to that point that his people should rest. But the Sabbath was given to Israel.
Yes.
And this is important because there's a group of quote-unquote New Testament believers that claim that we are still to observe the Sabbath. But they fail greatly, because when you see all the regulations and the law concerning the Sabbath, you know, they're just... You just can't do it. It can't be done. I told you to go to Nehemiah. Let's see if we can find him here. Where are you at? Nehemiah chapter 9, please. Nehemiah 9, verse 13 and 14. Here they're giving they're preaching and teaching about what God did. He said in verse 12, "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." You see, this was given specifically to the children of Israel. And this is what made them so different, as we'll see, from everybody else that worshiped. Everything about the children of Israel, from their worship to the way they ate to the way they dressed, was to be different. They were a separate people from all the other nations of the world. You see, we know that the Sabbath was given to them. It wasn't given to God. God didn't necessarily need to rest. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" You see, God was going to teach his people something through this. God knew man needed rest from his toil. And so not only was the Sabbath given to the children of Israel, but Jesus said more particularly in Mark 2:27, "The Sabbath was made for man." Let me read that verse there. Over there in Mark chapter 2. Again, this being a topical study, we're going to move around a little bit in the scriptures to build the doctrine here. This is when the Pharisees and scribes, they were always getting on Jesus, weren't they? They were trying to trap him, trying to twist what he was saying. They wanted to find fault with him. Here in verse 26 or verse 25, "And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need? And was a hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Jesus is God, amen? Jesus is Lord. You see, in this commandment, we see that man's work paves the way for his worship. They're connected. He said, 6 days thou shalt work, and then one day thou shalt rest. Thou shalt not work. Thou shalt worship that day. So when we look at the commandment, could we say here that labor is as binding as the Sabbath? Amen? God did say, 6 days thou shalt work. Work is one of God's ordained institutions for man. Before Adam could have a wife, he said, "Hey, listen, here's a garden, dress it and keep it." Work before the curse. Interesting. And work and the Sabbath go hand in hand. God knew man would value the seventh day after 6 days of labor. Let's look at some passages in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. The Bible makes it very clear that, you know, man is to work. Right. We're to work with our hands. We're to utilize the ability God has given us. He's given us the ability to, it says there in the book of Deuteronomy, to make wealth. And then to use that to be a blessing to others, ultimately. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, look what the Bible says here. "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." And this is interesting because he's going into a teaching here in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, that, hey, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat.
Right.
Or you're not going to be able to eat. That's over there in 2 Thessalonians 3. Turn there, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And so here we see God in his wisdom. He gave his people a time to turn from their labor to their Lord. Because he knew that, hey, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to provide for yourself.
Right.
But that's not the only thing that you're created for.
Right.
Because we're created in his image and we're created for his purpose and for his worship. They're to turn from their labor to their Lord, from their work to their rest, from the material to the spiritual. The Sabbath was a constant reminder of the covenant that God had with his people. Turn to Exodus 31, please. Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Here's another important point, because every time that the children of Israel would prepare for the Sabbath, or then rest on the Sabbath, they were reminded of who God was and what God has done. Exodus 31, look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. This is serious, is it not? Amen. This is very, very serious. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God brings it all the way back because, listen, man was created in God's image. This is what God did. This is what man is supposed to do. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please. So it's a reminder of the covenant. Not only that, the Sabbath was also a reminder of their deliverance. So just some more Old Testament passages, and then we'll turn to the new. Deuteronomy 5, please. And let's start in verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. This sounds familiar, isn't it? It's kind of a reiteration of the commandments. But look, remember, sometimes when you find a parallel passage in the scriptures, it sheds just a little more light. It gives you a little bit more understanding of what maybe the other writer, or in that time when he was writing, did not give. Verse 14, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. An equal opportunity employer God is, amen? Everybody, amen? It's for all of you and your animals. Verse 15, and remember, this is important here too, that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So we see that the Sabbath day was also connected now. He's bringing them not only a reminder of the covenant, but a reminder of their deliverance, that God delivered you, and you're to remember this. Right. This commandment of observing the Sabbath set Israel apart from all other nations as they honored the Sabbath. The Jews were declaring their belief in God as their creator. Right. That he was their creator, that he is their Lord, that they listened to him. We also see that this commandment was not only binding upon the Jews, but also upon the stranger and the servant living with them and the animals. Amen? And it's important. People need a break or they break. And I worked 7 days a week when I was younger, before I knew the Lord, and I did it for about 3 months straight, and that's about all I could do. It'll wear you out. We used to play this little game in school. It was on one of those real old-fashioned computers, and it was like, I think it was called the Oregon Trail. Anybody remember that or play that? And if you drove your cattle and your oxen 7 days a week, the wheels on the cart would start breaking down. The cows and the cattle would end up getting sick or sore. Your people would end up dying. It didn't work, even in the game. There was a principle there. And so, you know, this is, God knows us. Amen. Remember, he created the earth and he created us. And he knows what we can handle. And so we need a day of rest. So let's move on. In observing the Sabbath, the Jews, they were commanded to rest from all of their work. They were not to do any work. And God was very particular about this. Even when they went to get manna while they were in the wilderness, he said, listen, the Sabbath is coming tomorrow. So what you got to do today is you got to gather enough today so you don't go out and gather tomorrow. Because if you go out gathering tomorrow, whether you're going to gather some manna or some sticks, you'll be put to death.
Right.
That's how serious it was.
Yes.
God was so serious, he said in Exodus 35:3 that they were not even to light a fire. They were to do no work. And again, there's verses for all these. I'm just concerned about time here. But they were to bear no burden. That's labor, right? When you're bearing a burden you're working, they were to bear no burden. Let's look at one back there in Nehemiah 13. And it's interesting in Nehemiah that we find a lot connected with the Sabbath, because by that time it was profaned and they're having to remind them, hey, listen, the walls are being rebuilt. This place of worship is being rebuilt. We're going to have a revival here of worship, but it included the Sabbath. Nehemiah 13. Verse 15, in those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem. He's like, what is going on? What are these people doing? Don't they understand? This is the Sabbath. This was the day of rest. God has commanded. Why is this taking place? Verse 17, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Well, don't you know we got to work? Well, don't you know I got to provide? Yeah. Well, don't you know we have to eat? Well, don't you know that? Yes, we know that, and God knows that also.
Amen.
And if you follow his principles, you'd be taken care of. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Verse 18, did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And he goes on and talks about all the way through verse 22. He tells them that he commands them, listen, he says at the end of verse 22, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Because he knew, listen, God's going to pour down wrath because of what's taking place here and what's going on. So they were to bear no burden. They were to light no fires. They were to do no work. It goes even further. They were not to seek their own pleasure. Look at Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58. Now, are we, again, we want this to be practical for us, and so we should already be thinking, okay, where are the principles behind this? What is the spirit behind this that I can follow as a New Testament believer? Yeah, I'm going to light fires on what we call the Lord's Day. I may even bear a little burden on the Lord's Day. I may even seek my own pleasure on the Lord's Day. Well, I need to be mindful to try to limit those things to, again, to recognize him and his day. And this is a big one, especially for us, because this deals more with the moral aspect. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. See, God, he said, my holy day. It's his day. Yes, well, that's the Sabbath. We're Christians. We celebrate the Lord's day. Well, there's a principle here, okay, that we should follow. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Is to be about him. It's his day. It's a special day. And we already looked at one place, and we could go further. If you're taking notes, Numbers 15, 32, Exodus 31, 14, Sabbath breakers were punished severely,
yes,
even death. And so We bring up all of this to go further now, because this observant led the scribes and the Pharisees to create many extra biblical commands to follow so as not to profane the Sabbath. Remember, they had 600 plus laws around these commandments to try to not end up breaking those commandments, as to not profane the Sabbath, to which the Savior replied to them in Matthew chapter 12, and he gave some examples about David and the showbread and the disciples as they went through the corn and they picked the corn as they were going through. And if the ox fell in the ditch, you're going to go and you're going to get your ox out of the ditch. And so they went as far to even call Jesus a Sabbath breaker on different occasions. Right. Now remember, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah. And so the question is why don't Christians observe the Sabbath? But we worship on Sunday. We don't worship on Saturday. By the way, the Sabbath was Friday, 6 p.m. to Saturday, 6 p.m. Right. Now, I lived in Chicago. I worked downtown. And I remember I'd see a Jewish man on Fridays at lunchtime. And he was a solid Jew, the hat and the beard and the tassels, and he had cardboard paper with scripture phylacteries, as they called it, on his hand, and he had one under his hat that hung on his forehead because the scripture was supposed to be on your forehead and on your hands, and he was a homeless Jewish man, Orthodox Jew, and he was gathering food from the trash cans where everybody would eat, you know, outside. He was preparing for the Sabbath because he was not allowed to do any work. They were serious. Some are still very serious. But we worship on Sunday. Because why? Because we're not under the Sabbath laws. The laws of the Old Testament are not the standard for Christians. Christ is. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth, the Bible says. We're not under the Old Covenant, but we're under the New Covenant. And in his finished work on Calvary, we see Jesus nailing ceremonialism to the cross,
right. Amen. That's right.
Thereby not binding the believer to the Sabbath.
Yes.
But the principles should still follow, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Look here, Colossians chapter 2, please. The moral and principal obligation is there, just not the day. And just not the restrictions and just not the punishments. Amen? We don't want
yeah.
Could any keep the Sabbath? Really? In our day and age? Colossians 2 and verse 13 through 17. And you, being dead in your... Yeah, 2, 13, yeah. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ.
Yes,
turn to Romans 14, please. Romans 14. Hey, listen, we are not Jews. Amen.
Right.
We're Christians. There's a difference.
Amen.
Sunday is not the Jewish Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's day. Amen. Romans 14. And let's look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Okay? So, as Christians, we worship on the first day of the week, amen?
Yes.
Not the last day of the week.
Right.
We worship on the first day of the week.
Right.
Sunday, the Lord's day. This is what we find the New Testament Christians doing. When we look at the scriptures, because again, the scriptures are our final authority for our faith and our practice. And so if we want to know why we do something or how to do something, we turn to our manual, amen? Jesus rose from the grave after the Sabbath. We worship on Resurrection Day. Amen. Turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew 28. We got to move fast. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And you know what? Jesus wasn't in there, amen? He already rose. Okay, Mark chapter 16 now. Look, again, each gospel account teaches us this. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, okay, it's over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. But what did they find? They didn't find him, amen. He arose. Luke 24, turn there, please. Luke 24. You say this is redundant. This is scripture, amen. And we're comparing scripture with scripture. And we are to build our doctrine, as the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. Because if I'm going to practice my faith, I want to know that I'm doing it right, that I'm doing it according to the scriptures. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. When did they come? The first day of the week. John 20. Now let's turn there. John 20. John 20. Okay, verse 1. When? The first day of the week. Cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Amen. And the body was not there. And then you know what? Then appears again next Sunday to Thomas. Over here in verse, I think it's 24 through 26. 26 said, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto them. They were already together. Amen. Acts chapter 20, turn there. Acts chapter 20. And let's look at verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Why do we preach on the first day of the week? Why do we gather on the first day of the week? Because we see the example of the New Testament believers. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, we don't preach until midnight. I don't know if we can handle that, but we preach, amen, and we teach, and we gather together, and we fellowship, and we enjoy communion one with another. What else do we do? 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Because remember when, again, here Old Testament principles we find in the New Testament. When God led the children of Israel out into the wilderness, when he wanted them to go, he said, listen, God said, let my people go. And he said, okay, you can go, but you can't bring anything with you. He said, no, we can't go without a sacrifice. We have to bring something when we go to worship. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. We give on the first day of the week. That's part of our worship, amen, as we give, because not only are we recognizing him as Lord of our life and we're recognizing his day, amen, we're putting ourselves in the right place, amen, yes. Not before him. Revelation 1, please. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Here, John on the Isle of Patmos. He's there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And that's what we want. We want to hear the voice behind us. Amen. Not the person in the pew behind you, but we want to hear the voice of the Lord coming from the preaching of the Word of God through the Spirit of God on the Lord's day. Yes. We can hear it. So our seventh day is the first day, and it belongs to God. Amen. And we are to remember it. We're to keep it holy. We're to set it apart. It's to be unlike other days. It's not just to be just like another day. We've gotten away from this, have we not? And now, I didn't grow up in a church home, and I don't know what it was like maybe back in some of your days, but I'm sure it was just a little different on the Lord's Day and on Sunday. It was very cultural in our country, was it not? It was a Sunday thing, and businesses were closed, and you couldn't buy liquor, and you couldn't go out to eat, and you couldn't do those things. Why? Because places were shut down. People went to church. They rested. They relaxed on the Lord's Day. They spent time with family. It was different from the other 6 days, was it not?
Amen.
You see, how about we turn off some things on the Lord's Day, amen, and we take some time to rest and relax, and we move away from the secular things, and we say no to work, and we just follow the principle, amen, that God has already laid down for us. You say, well, again, we're not going to set up straw mans or anything, but yes, the ox does fall in the ditch sometimes on a Sunday. So you go and you pull him out. But he doesn't fall in the ditch every Sunday, amen? It's the Lord's Day. Make it a principle for your life to decide, you know what? I am scheduling my life and my time around God's house. And I'm putting him first place in my life. Because it's a day of contemplation. It's a day of meditation. It's a day I'm to direct my thoughts towards God. Not just for the hour or two I'm here at church Sunday morning, but I need to carry that then into the afternoon. And then again into the evening, because it's the day. It's not just the Lord's morning. It's the day. Hebrews 10:25, our last verse. Let's, as he said, let's make it holy this day. And what does that mean? That means set apart. It means different. Reserved for his purposes. Let's not seek our own pleasure. Let's not do our own things. Let's do his things, and let's do it his way. Hebrews 10:25, or how about verse 24? 23, let's start there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So if you have professed faith, look at what it says. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Amen.
I need to be able to provoke you unto love and good works. I need to be able to be here, to have a testimony that God deserves my best and he gets first place in my life.
Yes.
And my employer needs to know that. My coworkers need to know that. My fellow students need to know that. Everyone that knows me needs to know that where I'm going to be Sunday morning, amen?
Amen.
I'm going to be in God's house on the Lord's Day because I want to hear from heaven. Because I want to give of my substance. Because I want to give the sacrifice of praise of my lips to him.
Yes.
People need to know we go to church, amen?
Amen.
If we forsake the assembly, we show him no reverence. If we forsake the assembly, we show no respect for his word. If we forsake the assembly, we show that we have no real relationship, because this is the principle that has been laid out throughout the scriptures. And it's very clear. And it's for us, amen? And so let's rest today. Let's rejuvenate ourselves through the word of God and through seeing each other and being in fellowship and having communion. But understand this, ultimate rest is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know not him, if you've never come to him with your labor and with your burden, then you'll never know real rest, spiritual rest for your soul for all eternity. I pray that you're saved this morning, because just coming to church and trying to go through the motions is not going to get you where you need to go. Just coming to church does not make you a Christian.
Yes.
You need to know Christ, amen.
Amen.
It needs to be a time and place in your life where you have given him your heart and soul. Is he your Lord? He's Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
He's Lord of this Sunday.
Yes.
Let's honor him.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the scriptures. Thank you for this Sunday school lesson. I pray that you've blessed it. You've challenged us. You've taught us. Lord, again, ultimately for the purpose of reviving our hearts and souls. Lord, we need changes in our life. We need changes in our community. We need changes in our country. And Lord, it starts right here in this house this morning with the decisions we make and with the affections that we give towards Thee. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we try to live for you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.